high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside derby!
Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to tonight's podcast. We've got loads to get through. We're going to start with looking back on our disappointing result at St James's Park, where we lost 2-1 to Newcastle. For that one, it's going to be Thomas, Terry and Owen giving you the verdict on a very disappointing display against Newcastle. It was a really disappointing weekend as we made it 2 defeats out of 2. Then we're going to try and lighten the mood as we look a bit more optimistically, hopefully, towards the upcoming game against Manchester United. And I'll be on that show joined by Terry and Owen again. And we're going to look ahead to the game on Saturday. And then, of course, we're going to finish with the classic quiz where Owen and Teddy will be going up against each other. These sections are, of course, separate videos on YouTube, so I'll introduce you to the video anyway. And we'll get straight into it, and we'll hand you over to Thomas, Teddy and Owen for a pretty dismal response, you'd imagine, to that disappointing game against each other.
My name's Thomas, joined again by Terry McAllister and Owen Parks. Sadly, on another slightly sombre note, after back-to-back disappointing performances, this time 2-1 loss away to Newcastle United. I think we were all expecting going into this game a lot more positive than the way we came out of it, but then the news breaks. Richarlison's out, Hammers is out, along with Coleman and Dinier. Then we speculate, you know, is Bernard going to start on the left? Is it going to be Iwobi? Is it going to be Anthony Gordon? Let's go back to an hour before the game starts. Absolutely not. It's Andre Gomez. Terry, what were you thinking about that moment when the team got released?
It was a strange one, wasn't it? I think everyone had the same thought. Like, this is one slow-ass team. Like, I don't think anyone was expecting, you know, big things once they saw that lineup, because I think Owen got it right. It's like a 90s Dutch team, you know, one paced completely, and didn't let us down. Didn't surprise anyone. I mean, it did let us down, but like the predictions were all correct, because it was just, wasn't good, was it? It was just a strange team selection. Like, so there was loads to unpack. So Olsen starts, I was all for that. There was rumours before the kickoff about, you know, the reason for such. Don't really want to go into that there because we don't know anything about it. Everyone knows what I'm on about. But for whatever reason, he's picked Robin Olsen. And I was happy with that. I thought on pure football terms, I wanted Pickford to be dropped anyway. But then he says, oh no, he's playing next week. Olsen's going to play this game, but Pickford's back. So I think that took everyone a bit by surprise. Certainly took me by surprise. We obviously had second choice fullbacks in, you know, no Godfrey, he was injured. And then, of course, 5 central midfielders playing. And it was a bit like, what formation is this going to be? And it ended up being a bit of the old Christmas tree, didn't it? With like a middle three and 2 sort of number 10s almost behind the striker. And
it was the classic no tactics, just vibes type performance. It was just everyone just standing in the same area of the pitch.
It was so strange. I don't know what Carlo was going for with this. Like, whatever it was, it didn't work, did it? Like, and I don't know why everyone's having this crisis of faith for, like, criticising a manager. It's like, yeah, you know, he's got it right 99% of the times, but, you know, when he gets it wrong, you can still say, oh, yeah, he got that one wrong. And it doesn't mean you're a... You want them, like, you know, to walk the plank. I think people are so reactionary now because of the way fan media is and social media is. Like, oh, he said something bad about Carlo. That means they want Carlo. I was like, no. But, you know, you've got to be honest, haven't you? Like, whatever he wanted to do, that this game did not work because we just didn't look like a threat at all. Neither did Newcastle, but we just played exactly the way they wanted us to play. We just gifted them a goal with a stupid decision. We'll touch on that properly in a bit. And then just floated, you know, deep crosses at their centre-backs all game, and they were just made up for it. They must have just went, thanks very much, Everton, did exactly what we wanted to there.
Yeah, I think you've touched on everything perfectly there. I don't think the team or the lineup was really how anyone predicted. But in our prediction video, Owen did mention that Callum Wilson would score. Of course, he did pick up two. We always knew he was scoring. Him and Ryan Fraser link up.
I'm surprised Jeff Hendrick didn't grab a phase.
Well, we may as well start with the first goal. Owen, what did you make of the penalty decision?
Do you know what? People are having a go at Callum Wilson for like making the most of it, and that's fair enough. I'm not a huge fan of Callum Wilson myself. Actually, I'll go a bit further than that. I particularly dislike Callum Wilson, but it is not his fault. Andre Gomes is the thickest footballer on the planet. He lives in a world of his own, honestly. If I speak, I'm in big trouble when I talk about Andre Gomes. What an absolute clown, honestly. It gets given, and then they score a penalty, and then Steve Bruce is on the champagne at that point, isn't he? Because he could have just put everyone behind the ball and win the game, and it's easy enough for them. And we made it dead simple for them. And I'm fuming. I'm really angry because people on Twitter are doing mad as well. And yeah, not good. I've took this one particularly bad. I don't think I've been this angry after the defeat for about 5 years, to be honest. So take that what you will.
Well, were you around for the last time we lost to Newcastle? Because that, well, not lost, that 2-2 after we were winning 2-0.
Yeah, but we got a point, so I took solace that we at least got some from the game. This is annoying.
Being as angry as that. Oh, my God.
No, I'm never happy when we get around with them the last. It's always disappointing getting a bad result against Newcastle. But, Terry, what did you make of the penalty?
At the time, I had a proper, that blinkered, like, angry fanheads on, and I was like, that's not a penalty. He's engineered the contact. It's soft, but it's fair. He's swung a leg out and to kick the ball, and Callum Wilson, he's even said after the match, hasn't he, that, yeah, and I just thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure he gets me instead of the ball. It's not nice to hear, but there's nothing wrong with that. Like, he's engineered the foul, hasn't he? He's drew a foul. Like, if we do that, we're made up. So with a bit of, distance between it actually happening and now, I can say stings when it goes against you, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's just clever football and not very clever football from our player, let's be honest, as Owen said.
Yeah, the bottom line is it was a penalty. We know Wilson jumped in front of him. He literally said at the end, like, he felt the kick coming. Fair enough. I'd want our players to do that. I'd want our players to be that smart up front. But second goal, I don't know what happens. Massive gust of wind comes from the Gallagher. Yerry Mina gets absolutely left for dead. Ryan Fraser cut straight through. Terry, I mean, what did you even make of that goal? It was a terrible goal to concede defensively.
Ryan Fraser just had Yerry Mina's undies off him. Just absolutely. I've said previously, and I'll say it again, I am a fan of Yerry Mina, but he needs dropping now. He's him and Pickford have made a lot of individual mistakes which have led to goals, and this is another one, and Mina has led you for this season already. He gets drawn to him, then he spins him, absolutely does him, and then he can't catch him, and he just gets back in time to slide across and deflect the ball, take Olsen out of the game, and because the cross might not even be going to, might not even make it to it was Wilson, might not even make it to Wilson if left, unmolested. But then obviously the sort of ricochet deflection, whatever you want to call it, takes the ball over the keeper, and there's nothing he can do, and then that's it, 2-0, and game over. Like, we weren't making a very good go of trying to get back in the game anyway until after the second goal somehow. But yeah, once we're two goals down, we didn't have enough time or the players on the pitch to change it.
It was a disappointing performance overall. I don't want to dwell on the negatives for too long because there were some very few positives that I'm going to try and draw out a bit later in the video. But Owen, you are a fan of the way Newcastle play football. They are kind of they are a sight to behold. What did you make of their performance? Of course, we helped them a lot in the way we played, but what did you make of them?
They weren't amazing, but didn't have to be. But it just adds fuel to the fire of Newcastle fans. Gutted that they won the game because Steve Bruce is in the top half now. And Rafa, I don't think, he finished top half once, didn't he? But good luck to Steve Bruce, because I think he's doing a very good job. And sod Newcastle fans for being itself entitled. That's all I can say.
Yeah, so then we're going to try and move away from negative slightly. Premier League debut for Nkunku on his birthday. Terry, what do you make of his performance?
Really make anything of it. I think the team was set up to try and make the most of the fullbacks for width, And I think we learned from this game that neither of the reserve fullbacks are really up to the Premier League. Now, Kenny, I think the jury's in on Kenny. He's not good enough, is he? But Nkunku's only a young lad. He's looked good in Carabao Cup games, and you know, he's very young and can, you know, progress and get better. Didn't really, you know, make a mark for himself, but I don't think the rest of the team helped him. The wider point, just before we go on to any more positives, I can't believe we got any more than that, but what we've learned from these last two games is, and I said this after the derby, like, we're going to find out in the next couple of games whether the fringe players are worth any the time of day, and we've now seen them and they're not. Like, we've got 11 players and that's it. Like, or maybe 12, like, if you include one bench player or something like that, and they're good and they can do it. And you might get away with bringing in one, maybe two fringe players at a time. You can't bring in five. You can't, like, we had five players out who would all start. Richarlison, James Rodriguez, Coleman, Dean and Holgate. And that's even if you don't include Pickford, which I personally don't, but some people would. We weren't very good without them. And then a lot of people turn around and go, well, those players we had on the pitch are good enough to beat Newcastle. Well, clearly they're not. Like, we might think that Sigurdsson and Gomez and players like that are good enough to beat teams. But on the evidence we've seen at the minute, a lot of these players, you know, Kenny Ink, you know, and whoever, won't get into up to other Premier League teams, and they've proved it now. So I think we just need to accept that when we're down several first teamers, we're going to be poor, because every time Bernard, every time Iwobi, every time Sigurdsson play, because they weren't in our team for when we had that good run at the start of the season. They've come in now and had a run of games or a few games. They've been awful. Like, every single game we've lost, and they've been terrible every time. Like, and it's the other players who start haven't been enough to get them through it, like Alan and Decore and who have you. But sorry, I've gone on a rant. So Nkunku, it wasn't his fault, but he didn't really do anything, did he? I was surprised he came off, but he didn't have any impact. I don't think he seemed a little bit to play within himself, because the rest of the team didn't really play to his strengths, didn't give him anything to run at.
Yeah, it was quite disappointing, because he does look like a very exciting player, but wasn't really given license to do a whole lot. I was disappointed to see Godfrey out. Of course, he did pick up a hamstring injury. I think that was what was announced. I would have liked to have seen him alongside Keane personally if Kenny was back, just purely because he was a natural right back. And maybe with Godfrey's kind of recovery pace, as it's been called, he's not the quickest, but does he get rinsed by Ryan Fraser that badly, run backwards? Probably not as badly as Yerry Mina. Owen, what did you make of Nkunku and Kenny? I think I already know what you think of Kenny, but what did you make of the birthday lads?
I'll just talk about Nkunku. I thought it was difficult for him, because I think Nkunku's gonna be in an Everton shirt anyway at his best when he's got Richarlison or even Anthony Gordon in front of him, and he's got someone who can, like, run inside and he can go out on the outside, and there was no one really out there with him to sort of, like, double up with him. It was difficult for him. I'm not going to talk about John Joe Kenny, Christ. Yeah, well, Nkunku, I wouldn't have took him off. Bizarre sub, but yeah. I thought he handled himself well. I just didn't think he affected the game in a normal way to what we've seen in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, we've touched on Robin Olsen a bit at the start, but I'll come back to you, Terry. Of course, he comes in for Jordan Pickford. Looked pretty decent. Okay, he conceded two goals, but then that made a couple of pretty decent saves.
Yeah, he caught the ball and saved a shot that was on target. Like, couldn't believe it. Like, he was not very good for the penalty, but it's a penalty. You can't, you know, like, a lot of keepers don't save penalties in the second goal. You certainly can't blame him for, because the deflection takes him completely out of it. But I don't understand why Carlo came out and said, yeah, you know, Pickford's going to be back against Manchester United. I'm just playing Olsen for this one game. Like, I wouldn't have said anything and then just see how they get on. I mean, he might have brought Pickford back in anyway, and I don't know enough about Olsen to, like, say, oh, I need him to start every game, but I know enough about Pickford to think that he really needs a spell out the team, not just one game, because he's been poor. I mean, all the off-the-field stuff aside, I know, like, it might not be as simple as I'm making out. It might be a case of this is where you back him for his own sake or you'll lose the player. losing mentally kind of thing. He won't trust you anymore, as you know, this, that, or the other. But on a pure football basis, I just think Pickford's been so poor at the minute. I'd take anyone over him at the minute, but it's pretty crystal clear, isn't it, that it's just for that one game, Olsen. But he showed me that he's, I don't have to worry if he comes in, not at this point. If Pickford was to be dropped again, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, what's this player like? Because now we've had a look at Olsen, you know, unremarkable. And that's an upgrade on a keeper who's remarkable all the time, but for the wrong reasons.
He naturally looked just more confident than Pickford has done for a while, regardless of whatever happened, as you mentioned. I mean, Pickford being dropped has been on the cards for, I mean, since the Spurs game at the start of the season. I think Olsen came in, did very well. Owen, were you impressed with Olsen on his debut?
Yeah, I thought he was very good. I thought the simple sort of basic things you expect from your goalkeeper, which 18, 17 other teams get from their goalkeeper every week, we just got from Robin Olsen. I think he's probably not the world's greatest goalkeeper, but he doesn't need to be better than Jordan Pickford. Why Jordan Pickford was dropped, we can speculate, but I think we just need to concentrate on Robin Olsen for this week, and he did really well. Can't blame him for not saving a penalty. You know, lots of keepers don't save penalties. And the second one, like Teddy said, lap of the gods kind of stuff for Callum Wilson. So, yeah, he made a couple of good saves. He collected every ball that got put in our box. He did really well. I thought his kicking was good as well. Sometimes you see Pickford just have a mad one where it goes out of play. Don't think he had that. He did well. I'll keep him in. I don't get the comments at all, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I'm going to mention one more positive. It's not really something to discuss, but it is another goal for Dominic Calvert-Lewin towards the end. As pointless as it was, or consolation, good to see him scoring again. And, I mean, we could go into detail about how we improve from here, but I think it's very clear. We take four of our most important players back, and we get back to playing football the way we were before we come into this game. So I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much, Terry and Owen, for joining me.
Welcome to the match preview segment for Everton versus Manchester United. We're back at Goodison after two away games, which we've got beat. And we've got to try and turn this around a little bit. We started the season brilliantly and it's fell away the last couple of weeks. Some horrific performances. Terry and Owen join me for this one. I'll start with you, Terry. Do you think that we can turn this around in the United game? This sort of slump that we've got ourselves into?
Yeah, we definitely can. We just need to see better performances from any fringe players who play. Like we've learned, haven't we, from these last two games that the depth just isn't there in the squad. Like when we were playing with our full 11, you know, other than some dodgy defensive incidents, we were playing really well, and especially going forwards with the front three, and we had a good balance in the team. But take one or two of those starting players out, not even ones who are obviously, you know, seem obvious that they're key players. Like no one going into the season thought Coleman would be as important as he is, but clearly he is. So we'll have hopefully, 9, 10 of the players of the starting 11 that we start the season with available, only Richarlison out possibly. Then we could see a return ideally to the form that we had before the international break, really, you know, really, you know, press Man United's back four and, you know, get a good win and, you know, put a line underneath the sort of slumping results. But we'll have to wait and see. Like, Richarlison is one of the two most important players. Like, I think him and James.
The most important player for me.
Yeah, it's just, they're just almost irreplaceable. There's no, quality to replace them at all. So just depends on how many of the players we can get back. You know, 9 or 10 of the players that, you know, of the starting 11 that we're used to, I think we'll be all right. But if we're, you know, we're chopping and changing further, then I worry.
Definitely. Owen, how can you see us possibly, like Terry says, testing Man United, particularly if we do have a depleted squad? What could we do to maybe cause them problems?
I think Man United are in a bit of a tough situation at the moment. Obviously, there's a lot of questions surrounding Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the defence. In attack, they can be a bit wasteful at times. So it's not looking good for them, which is why they'll probably come to Goodison and beat us. But nevertheless, if we press them, we don't play like a 90s Dutch team again, then we most likely will give them a very good game if not beat them. If we start just moving the ball like we did on Sunday, backwards and sideways and playing in front of them, they'll have a very good chance of winning, because playing so ineffectively gives us zero chance in a game, because, let's be honest, the teams who do play ineffective football in the Premier League tend to just not do very well. The teams who do well are generally the teams that have something about them in the final phase, in terms of either getting the ball there relatively quickly or having the quality in them positions. If they wait all day to get the ball into the final phase and they move it left or right and they haven't got Man City's players, they usually are between the positions 15th and 20th. So what I would suggest for this game is we move the ball a little bit more quickly than we did in the last game. Obviously, James should be back. That's a boost. Hopefully, Coleman will be back. I'd like to see Anthony Gordon play in this one, just for the pace on the break. I had a bit of an issue Sunday with everyone saying, oh, bring Gordon on, play Gordon. Anthony Gordon wouldn't have made us win that game. He would have might have helped us make be a bit more sort of progressive up the pitch, but he doesn't really come on and sort of change the game, does he? So, but I would like to see him start this game, because he is someone to stretch their back for in terms of playing out of attack.
What's important for us, I think we've got to start it. Every time we've started strongly, we've like gone on to do well. I mean, we got lucky in the derby when we didn't start strongly, and the last two games since we've been horrific. We need to really come out the blocks in this game, I think. And obviously, Manchester United are also in a bit of a difficult place at the moment, like you say. An early goal against them would probably rattle them as well.
Hopefully, we'll get one like we did last year when it just goes off Calvert-Lewin and in from a goal kick.
That would be class, nice. Yeah. Do you feel that's the kind of luck we need at the moment?
If we get that kind of early break, I would fancy us. Like I say, for the majority of the Premier League games, it's the first goal. If we get the first goal, I'll put good money on us winning the game. If Man United score the first goal, you're probably looking at them being the favourites. I think it's about keeping a clean sheet's the most important one in this one, because I think we'll get chances. I think even if we play Iwobi and Bernard, I think we'll still get chances. And I think it's just about making sure we're as tight as we can be at the back. I think if Godfrey's fit, I would take Yerry Mina out and play Keane and Godfrey. And I'll just stick that as unless Holgate's fit, keep that as the back four for the while, because I do like Yerry Mina, just don't think he's in a very good run of form at the moment. And I think we need confidence players who are confident and who are in good form. Don't think he is, so we will see.
I do think Godfrey and Keane could be a good partnership, to be honest, given that Keane's not the quickest, Godfrey's incredibly quick.
It's more recovery pace with him than sort of like lightning pace. But it would complement each other quite well, I think.
Definitely. On the other hand, of course, Man United, they're in a bad place, but they've still got decent players. What sort of threats have we got to look out for, Terry? What do you think we need to sort of shut down if we're going to keep a clean sheet?
Well, it depends really what Man United turn up, because they're just so, like, you know, hot and cold as a team. Like, let's have it right. They've got attacking, like, you know, options coming out their ass. The quality attacking players they've got, they're just not very good defensively, structure-wise, or, you know, man-for-man-wise. They don't seem to have it right. But you don't know what type of, you know, team Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to pick, what formation he's going to pick. He's chopped and changed. I hope, from our point of view, that he goes back to a 4-3-3 or the diamond, because the diamond let him down at Goodison last year, because the two forwards just got pulled wide. And let's be honest, we should have really won that game, you know, with the decision at the end. This year, the Bruno Fernandes is, you know, I know he was there for the last game, but he's even more settled into the team now. If they play three at the back, that's where I worry. I think that, you know, we will struggle against them, because they'll have that, you know, they'll look to play as their away team, and that will suit them more, because they've got that, you know, pace going forward with the likes of Rashford. You know, Martial's not slow. you know, Greenwood, and then obviously the midfield speaks for itself. You know, you've got, I mean, Donny van der Beek. I'm not Donny van der Beek if he gets picked, but he's sort of got a bit of Klaassen syndrome, hasn't he? Where they've bought him and they don't seem to want to play him. And Fernandes, I'm not even mentioning Pogba because, frankly, I don't think he'll start because he's been horrendous for them. And I think, you know, it's about time he got found out. I mean, I'm jinxing myself now. He'll have the game of his life against us, but I've been waiting for the penny to drop with him for a while. He's not that good a player. He just seems to be, you know, his marketing's so good that people seem to, you know, have a hard time understanding that he's not, you know, all he's meant, he's cracked up to be. But pace, that's the long way of saying pace up front is what worries me the most. You know, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood, and like the obviously, let's be honest, the creative and penalty-taking qualities of Bruno Fernandes. They create a lot, they earn a lot of penalties, and he scores a lot of penalties. So that's what worries me. I'm in complete agreement with Owen. I'd drop Yerry Mina. I think injuries permitting, I would like to have seen that already. And I'd have Godfrey alongside Keane if we've got Coleman back for the right back position.
Definitely.
I'm saying nothing about Anthony Martial. Saying nothing about him until after the game, after my tweet in the last year about him.
Well,
I just know that Martial has an unbelievable record against us.
That I'm probably the reason why.
Why just slate him every other game?
Yeah, he's shite, but anyway, we'll leave it at that.
I don't think he is, you know.
I think he's all right himself. I think he's a good goal scorer.
He gets a proper dog's life off their ex-players, whereas Rashford gets away with murder constantly.
Yeah, it's true.
That English bias, I suppose, but it's not even, you know what, the one who worries me the most, if he plays, is Greenwood. I think Greenwood's quality.
Yeah, he's a belter player.
But
yeah, I agree.
I agree with Owen on Godfrey. I'd like to see Godfrey come in, but it's not going to happen. But I'd love to see Olsen keep his place. But there's no point even going into that one. He's already said, hasn't he, it's going to be Pickford. So
Olsen, yeah, I don't think he'll play either. I would have liked to have seen him play. But the more I think of it, I feel the reason why Carlo actually took him out last week, and I think the excuse he could have given is, he was playing Newcastle, and we know what John Pickford's performances have been like against Newcastle. We know what his performances have been like against most teams, but Newcastle in particular, he normally goes off his head, doesn't he? So maybe he dropped them for that, and then maybe he'll put him back in for the games coming. But like Terry said, I would rather see Olsen play, but I have no confidence in that happening. I think Pickford and Mina will play, to be honest.
I don't think that bodes well for us. I mean, Pickford playing, I'm not sure. Pickford's often had a couple of good games against Man United, but Yerry Mina is definitely not somebody I'm looking forward to seeing in action against their strikers.
No.
I don't know. It's always, you know, flip for coin. V Man United, like, we've got a good record against them at Goodison, but like a really poor one at Old Trafford. And that's across all of our different, you know, respective managers and, you know, squads and whatnot. Just seems to be we trade results from home and away.
That could be any crowd in the
country. You are.
That could be any crowd in the country you just mentioned.
No, yeah, but we do. We often win at home and lose away, and it's never.
That is literally Everton in a nutshell, though.
Yeah,
true. You're going to describe Everton in a sentence. Do you win at home and lose away?
Yeah. That should be on the badge where Nil Satis Nisi Optimum is. Just that. But I don't know. I'm very much. Going to wait to see, you know, I will decide what I think of this game more when I see the lineups, you know, partly because of Everton to see, you know, who comes in and who comes out, but mostly to see Man United because there's so many different types of Man United you could get, as I touched on before. Three at the back, I think, suits them. It doesn't suit their fans. They don't like, you know, don't like playing three at the back. It's overly cautious and they feel it's a bit defeatist, I think, but it suits their players a lot more, from the defensive players to the midfielders to the strikers, whereas the diamond is, I don't think, I mean, it's worked against the Champions League teams the way they've played, but that's because of the personnel they've played. You know, Fred, I think, is their key player. He's the least glamorous of a lot of their midfielders, but he makes them tick in midfield because he's the only one of the, you know, midfielders who will do the dirty work. Like, I'm not talking about a flag. not saying he'll fly into tackles, everything, but he'll do the necessary, you know, nuts and bolts, you know, unglamorous passing, and he makes the midfield work, whereas, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Pogba, they're not those players. They want to be up the pitch.
If Fred was bought for 10 million quid, he'd be raved about. It's just because the price tag on his shoulder is sort of weighed down the expectations. I mean, he's a really good player, Fred, I think.
If we play Fabian Delph, if we play Fabian Delph with Alan and Decore, I would sit one of them on, just probably Delph it would be. I'd just sit one of them on Fred, because if you stop Fred, mm-hmm. you'll stop their midfield. But it depends where the Fred starts. Ollie just goes mad sometimes and goes, right, well, we're nipping it all up and we're playing McTominay and Matic, or we're playing, you know, Pogba defensive midfield and all that. You know, there's no guarantee of it. You know, I mean, not literally that one, I suppose, but like, but like, he changes it, chops and changes it so much.
I don't even get the hour to do that.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, maybe not Pogba defensive mid, but he changes.
The fans of Miz is playing football the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Proper just offended that, like, Owen got like a bit of sick in his mouth when I said Pogba defensive mid. Then he thought of it and was like, oh, not sick. Just for
he'd
anyone.
Probably be better than McTominay there. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He's he played against PSG McTominay and lost the contact lens, didn't he? It's like, that explains a lot, because he must be playing without the contact lens.
He's lost his marbles playing him. Jesus Christ. Have a Tom Davis.
McTominay goal against us this Saturday, definitely now.
Yeah, I'm saying all these players off Slater will score. I said Callum Wilson and Jeff Hendrick would score. Jeff Hendrick didn't. Callum Wilson did. I'm not going to apologise for the agenda.
I don't know how to put a ball in the shirt on.
If anyone I can't pick up from this video, I don't know how to feel yet. I don't know whether to be confident or pessimistic, because I sort of feel both at the same time, which is weird.
It all depends on an hour before. It's all about an hour before kickoff when the team news comes out. Then you'll decide whether you feel confident or not about this game.
Pretty much, yeah.
And on that note,
just don't have goal for me.
Go on, what?
Yeah, don't have six. Andre Gomez in a front three, please.
Oh, God, yeah.
Don't have Andre Gomez in the 18.
There you go.
There's someone who'd be worse at midfield than Pogba. Andre Gomez, old midfielder. Jesus Christ, we'll get the bloody... We'll get
Andre
bloody
Gomez,
the rings
old midfielder, was a thing last season.
Yeah, that's why we finished 12.
Pretty much was the reason.
Yeah.
Between him and Gylfi Sigurdsson. Moping about
the Gomez and Sigurdsson midfield duo in a 4-2-4.
4-2-4.
Gomez was so poor in that midfield position that he made Sigurdsson eventually look half decent on the ball, didn't he? And conned everyone until he got a few games in. Yeah,
it was the old oh, I haven't seen Sigurdsson for a while, so we can't be that bad effect. But once you see him again, you think, yeah, he's absolutely woeful, isn't he?
Yeah.
I still say Sigurdsson's a better player than Gomez, though.
Well, I don't know. They both get on my nerves, like.
No, not for me. I'm not raving over Gomez anymore, but I'd certainly have my whole head of Sigurdsson. Sigurdsson twists my tit, does me head in. Like, but it's this. That's what the Carabao Cup game's done, didn't they? They sort of conned everyone into thinking that Bernard and Sigurdsson were still all right, and they're just not.
Don't realise that we're playing against, Fleetwood.
I'd rather have Delph.
There you go. So, if we're going to win, don't play Sigurdsson and don't play Gomez, and we might have a chance.
Especially Sigurdsson, Christ.
There you go.
Do he's bloody fond of living from taking a bloody corner, honestly.
So, literally... I think we'll finish on that anyway, and we'll just say literally about this game. Decide whether or not you want to be optimistic, but literally just leave it until an hour before when the team news comes out, because that is going to decide how we get on in this game, is what personnel play, isn't it?
Pretty much. What personnel they play.
What they play, but also what we have available to us and what Carlo puts out. Hopefully, like we say, not Gomez and Sigurdsson as a front three.
whether we're Everton or we are 1992 Feyenoord. Let's see.
Let's see. So there you have it, guys. For you podcast listeners, it's time for the quiz to finish the show. Owen versus Terry in a matchday squad quiz. For this one, I'm going to, of course, flip a coin to see who wants to go first. I'll let Owen decide heads or tails this time. Owen, heads or tails, mate?
Tails, go on.
It's heads. Terry, you get to pick. Do you want to go first or second, Terry?
I'll stick with him with second. It's been treating me, it's been serving me well of late.
It has served you very well of late. So, Owen, you're up first. Owen, you're up first. It's time for the fixture in question. And we are going back to Bonfire Night 11 years ago. Europa League, Everton 0, Benfica 2. At Goodison Park, Europa League group stage game. Owen, you're up first, mate.
Oh, wow. Christ. Benfica in the Europa League. I'll play safe, relatively, and go Phil Jagielka.
Teddy's won.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll play it safe and go for someone who wasn't even in this entire AC. Yeah,
must have been injured.
This was around the time Jags was still out recovering from his cruciate ligament injury, I think, at this point.
Well, there we go.
2009. He couldn't make the. That's why he couldn't make the FA Cup final, because he got it right towards the end of the league season, didn't he? The injury.
Yeah. He missed the start of this one as well.
Could we stop Lescott then? To Stan and I think two new centre backs.
So, Terry, you're up. We might as well smash out these 13 players.
Yeah. I like these ones around the FA Cup. Oh, nah, just always. So I'm going to go with the safest one. Al Starfish, Tim Howard.
Yeah, Tim Howard. Owen?
Phil Neville.
No, Phil Neville either. I think he was injured at this point. We were in the middle of a very bad injury spell, if I remember rightly, at this stage. I think we went to Benfica a few weeks before this and had a really patched up squad and got beat 5-1 or something.
Yeah, Coleman's debut at left back.
That's right, yeah.
Well, if it's after Lescott sale, then Distan.
Yeah, Distan played.
Heitinger.
Heitinger was also not in the squad.
Who was centre half next to Distan? Bloody me.
I remember who it was because he was in the cup final. It was Jobo.
Yep, Joseph.
I suppose he's been lowered out at this point.
No. Yeah, I think he's went
final,
to
his final season with us, I think.
He had like a 3 or 4 year period where he had a different loan every year. I thought this season was the start of it.
Yeah, this was his final actual season actually with the squad.
I haven't got one right here, have I? Christ, this is bad. We did Krasnodar and literally got to the last one, or Apollo and Limassol, and like the one where all our players were like relatively playing. I can't get one, but hey.
I think it's my turn, and I'm literally going off the 2009, the season before FA Cup final team, because I know that one off the top of my head. So I'm going for safe. I mean, I don't know why I'm being safe now when I've won already, but Baines, I'm going for safe option.
Yeah, Leighton Baines.
Louis Sahar.
Louis Sahar was also injured.
Christ.
We're absolutely down to the bare bones at this point.
Owen's in the mud here.
Four wrong answers in a row.
It's Frank de Boer Palace stuff, this, isn't it?
Well, Coleman only just made his debut, so it must have been Hibbert at right back.
It was Hibbert at right back.
Christ. We watched
Tony the Shoe.
Jack Rodwell.
Yeah, Jack Rodwell started. He stopped the rot.
We're off the mark.
Yeah. Marouan Fellaini.
Yeah, Fellaini started.
Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill started. This is brilliant. Now you've got three more starters to go and two subs.
Well, Saha was injured. Yakubu.
Yakubu was the starting striker.
Pienaar.
No, there was no Stephen Pienaar in this team either. I think he was injured as well. I told you we were in the midst of a really bad injury crisis. I remember this quite well.
Who plays on the left then? Was it the man who I, my original class, and the man who, the man I'm always keen, the man I loved, and he was just crap and I was unwilling to let it go for ages? Dinyar Biletinov.
It was indeed Dinyar Biletinov.
You didn't race him, did you? Christ.
Yeah, I really rated him when we signed him.
He was prime. He scored a worldie and did nothing else.
But I was young at the time and I wasn't as cynical as I am now. I liked Sigurdsson when we got him as well.
I don't know where I'm at. I can't remember the bleeding team. Never mind how the players play.
Go on, short anyway.
That means someone was off the right. He didn't put Osman off the right, did he?
No, Osman wasn't even in the squad. He must have been injured as well.
Christ. Jesus.
I've literally got nothing else to give.
Oh, God, who was it? Oh, who have we got left? Like a starter and two subs?
You've got one starter and two used subs.
Yeah, it's the right midfield, isn't it? Because we've had Rodwell, Fellaini...
Was Coleman right midfield? Cahill.
It wasn't Coleman right mid, no.
He loved to do that for a bit. I have no idea.
I don't know.
It wasn't
my next guess would have been.
Or what?
Famous my guy Gay.
It wasn't my guy Gay. He'll do very well to guess these final three.
Benfica, I don't know. Wasn't Dan Gosling, was it?
It was Dan Gosling on the right hand side or on the left, I'm not too sure, but it was Dan Gosling on the wing.
Who was on the other wing? On the left. Billy Etnioff.
Billy on the other wing, yeah.
But yeah, we were definitely the 90s Dutch team back then.
So yeah, just the two subs to get.
It would have been a token bringer kids off the bench, wouldn't it?
There was one token bringer kid off the bench, that's for sure. It's a name that you'll do very, very well to guess.
Ooh. Kieran Aegaard, why not?
Well done. It was Kieran Aegaard.
I would never.
Kieran Aegaard came on for Yakubu in the 81st minute.
Teddy in the mud.
You could have made seven wrong answers in a row and I'd still have to give you a round of applause.
I should win for naming Kieran Aegaard.
That is unbelievable.
This is like Donald Trump carry on this. I got seven wrong, but I got that hard one right.
Stop the count. You've got Aegaard.
Stop the quiz.
Stop the count.
He's won it. He's got seven or he's got about six or seven wrong, but he got a good one, so therefore he's won.
Stop the count.
I didn't get Tim Howard, but I got Kieran Aegaard.
who was the other sub then? Trying to think, because the team, I always liked this era because the team and the squad was very small, but I can't remember who we had. So, wasn't Coleman, I'm trying to think of who'd be on the bench. It wasn't Coleman, Arteta was still injured. And we got, everyone's injured, so I don't know who it was.
This is a really tough one. It's a very forgettable player.
Is it Friggy? Is it Segundo Castillo?
It wasn't Segundo Castillo.
We let him go. We had him on loan the season before and didn't take up the option.
Wonder
wasn't,
why.
No wonder.
Wasn't he Jakobsen, was it? Because he's...
He went to West Ham.
I think I've got it.
Go on.
Was it Joe?
It was Joe.
He's right. The Brazilian Joe, the worst Brazilian player to ever play in the Premier League.
Joe came off the bench in the 69th minute for Gosling.
That was one bad side there.
Yeah, that was a bad side. Wait till you hear some of the unused sub names. We've got Carlo Nash, Seamus Carlo Nash. This is the team. Howard, Hibbert, Baines, Yobo Distan, Tim Cahill, Marouane Fellaini, Jack Rodwell, Dan Gosling, Billy Letinov, and Yakubu. There's used subs were Kieran Agard and Joe, and the unused subs were Carlo Nash, Seamus Coleman, Shane Duffy, Jose Baxter, and James Wallace.
James Wallace.
James Wallace,
yeah. James Wallace.
So, yeah, there you have it. There's an interesting quiz for you. And despite Owen getting Kieran Agard, we don't stop the votes on this show. And... Terry McAllister wins the quiz again after going second. So, Terry, you get to pick a song to finish off. What do you want to put on at the end of this podcast, mate?
Just having a quick look at the aisle, Spotify, see if I've never prepared, even though, you know, Thomas will disagree, but I'm getting quite a good record now. Let me see.
You're getting a good record because you're up against me every time.
This is what Max used to do to me. I never ever beat Max. I can probably count like twice I ever beat Max at a quiz, even though he was like, it'd be games that that he wasn't alive for sometimes when he was about five. He was about five and I had a season ticket it for the match, and he remembered it better than me, but whatever.
That was majestic, here in Agard. Wow.
Yeah, that was just took that right in your stride, didn't it? Caught that on the lead.
Amazing.
It's almost, you know, it's old school now. It's from like years ago, but it's not like an old song either. Young Forever by Jay-Z and Mr. Hudson.
Wow. Interesting.
I know. It's not for any reason.
It's definitely not out of the typical Terry McAllister back catalogue, that one.
No, I was looking down my Spotify playlist and I just saw that and went, why the hell not? Because I was pigeonholing myself too much looking for a rock song and thought, why? And then I thought, shall I do an election special? Well, no, don't do that. It's not, as the time of recording, it's not officially done yet, so I might look a right idiot if I do like a jokey anti-Trump one and then, like, you know, the worst happens. It's just sort of, you know... Anyone who's pro-Trump listening to this is going to laugh at me now if that happens anyway, but less so. So yeah, for Young Forever by Jay-Z and Mr. Hudson, just because I like the song. Good song.
Fair play. So there you have it, guys. We'll finish with Young Forever by Jay-Z and Mr. Hudson. And we'll leave it at that. Thank you guys for tuning in on the Toppy Blues, and we'll see you next time.
Days, be the worst of your tomorrows, but we ain't even thinking that far, you know what I mean? So we living life like a video, where the sun is always out and you never get old, and the champagne's always cold and the music's always good, and the pretty girls just happen to stop by in the hood, and they hop their pretty ass up on the hood of that pretty ass car without a wrinkle in today, cause there's no tomorrow, just a picture perfect day that lasts a whole lifetime. And it never ends, cause all we have to do is hit rewind. So let's just stay in the moment, smoke some weed, drink some wine, reminisce, talk some shit, forever young is in your mind. Leave them off the kin race, neither space nor time. So when the director yells cut, I'll be fine. I'm forever young. Forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever. Forever.
fear not when, I fear not why. Fear not much while we're alive. Life is for living, I'm living uptight. See us somewhere up in the sky. Fear not die, I'll be alive for a million years. Bye-bye, so not for legend, I'm forever young. My name shall survive. Through the darkest blocks, over kitchen stoves, over pirates' pots. My name shall be passed down to generations while debating up in barbershops. Young slung, hung here, showed it a nigga from here. With a little ambition, just what we can become here. And as the father passed the story down to his son's ears. Younger kid, younger every year, yeah. So if you love me, baby, this is how you let me know. Don't ever let me go, that's how you let me know, baby. Up on Forbes, this gorgeous. Hold up, niggas started lost it. They be talking bullshit. I be talking more shit. They nauseous. Hold up, I'll be here forever. You know I'm on my fall shit. I ain't with foreclosure. I will never forfeit. That's the four bars. Google, bring the chorus in. Did you get the picture yet? I'm painting you a portrait of young.
Forever young. I wanna be.